Hello and welcome to Ask the Vet. I am here today with Dr. Chad Rober, who works at Alpine Animal Hospital, and we're going to be talking about the upcoming August 22nd, Take Your Cat to the Vet Day. By the way, this is a call-in show, and the number here is 963-2976, so please feel free to give us a call during the show. And my name's Beth, and I'm going to be hosting the show today.
Yes, indeed. And I'm Dr. Rober. Just so everybody knows, Beth also works at Alpine Animal Hospital, and she's a certified behavior consultant. So I'm not going to have all the answers today. Beth's going to help me out, I hope.
I hope so, too. So, Dr. Rober, I know we're going to talk about the August 22nd being Take Your Cat to the Vet Day. And why is this important?
Well, it turns out that there's a big big difference between people taking their dogs to the vet and cats to the vet. For some reason, we haven't been able to convince people that their cats also need veterinary care. So, for example, there's supposed to be 86 million owned cats in the U.S., and there's 78 million owned dogs, but the dogs get to the vet twice as often as the cats do.
Yeah,
and so this is kind of an effort to try and educate people that indeed their cats need some veterinary care too.
Yeah, that's good. And I mean, I think that it's important to talk about, you know, the reasons why we want to take our cats to the vet, you know, specifically. And, you know, what are some of the reasons you think that cats really need medical care?
Well, one of the first ones I guess I'd like to touch on is the public health issues. Turns out that we see more risk to cats nowadays for rabies than we do for dogs. There was
That's
a recent study that said that as far as domestic animals go, that cats were reported to be rabid four times as often as dogs. So for many, many years, we've emphasized, you know, getting the dogs their rabies shots. And I think there's been a little bit of a problem with getting the message out that cats may be at higher risk than dogs. And that's probably especially true here in Western Colorado. Luckily, rabies so far is a pretty rare thing here in Western Colorado. But the main reservoir for rabies is bats in Western Colorado. And so for a cat to see a rabid bat on the ground, they got to go check that out.
Oh, yeah.
And so in some respects, our cats may be at a little higher risk than even our dogs. So if there's no other reason, just for public health safety, it's really important to make sure that our cats are properly vaccinated for rabies. So that would be one of the first things I would like to
touch on.
Stress.
I just want to remind everyone, this is a call-in show. So if you have any veterinary-related questions, not just cats, but anything, please feel free to give us a call here, 963-2976. So, I mean, the public health is obviously clearly a great reason that we need to get our cats seen, get their rabies vaccines. You know, is there any more, you know, anything else that you can touch on as to why it's important to have your cat brought into the vet?
Well, I kind of broke the cat population into three groups. We have the young cats, and so getting our kittens started off right is really important for a couple reasons. One is they also need to get those necessary vaccines. We still do see feline leukemia out in our outside cats. And unfortunately, many of us have lost cats to that disease. Cats in their early years need to have a series of vaccines for herpes virus, which is a respiratory virus, and those are really important because some of those can be lifelong problems. Cats get the herpes virus when they're kittens, and they have bouts of outbreaks throughout their life. We already talked about the rabies thing, and the last thing with the young cats I wanted to emphasize is that it's also the time to get your cat used to going to the vet, because we're going to touch on why people don't take their cats to the vet. And one of the biggest reasons is it is hard for people to get their cat to the vet because the cats hate coming.
Oh, yeah.
So starting your kitten out right and getting it used to being in a carrier, that a carrier doesn't always mean bad things, that mm-hmm. a carrier can have good connotations for the cat, is really important. And the time to do that's when they're kittens.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, those are some really good things I think we're going to delve into deeper at a little bit later. You know, you talked about young cats, and I think we are also, or at least I can speak for myself, promoting adoption of middle-aged animals as mm-hmm. well. And a lot of the shelters are full of sort of not young, some old, some young, but a lot of middle-aged cats. Mm-hmm. So people go to the shelter, they adopt a middle-aged cat, and or they have one that's become middle-aged. What are some of the things that middle-aged cats need as far as veterinary care that it's important to get them in to be seen by a doctor?
I guess if there is one area I'd probably try to emphasize, and that's trying to control dental disease.
Mm-hmm.
We unfortunately see a lot of older cats that have really serious dental disease. And we kind of missed the boat on some of those kitties in addressing that when they were younger. So
mm-hmm.
Dental disease is probably responsible for a large proportion of our problems as older cats. And the time to start preventing that is in the middle age. Most time there's going to be some periodontal disease in mm-hmm. animals by the time they're 4 or 5 years of age.
Mm-hmm.
And so if we wait until they're 12-year-old cats and their teeth are rotting out, we kind of miss the boat.
Well, and it becomes like a bigger procedure.
Much bigger and
more
actually
expensive.
Much more expensive,
yeah.
Right. I think that's one of the things that we all know that veterinary care can be expensive, but
yep.
The preventative is a lot more affordable than trying to fix big problems later on.
Mm-hmm. So. I just want to remind everyone listening, this is a call-in show. Please feel free to give us a call. Any animal vet-related questions we're taking right now at 963-2976. Dr. Rober looks forward to any questions you have for him.
And Beth will love to answer a few herself.
So, you know, we talked about the middle-aged, the young, and, of course, our older senior population of cats. I'm sure there's plenty of reasons why they need to come in, and I don't know if you want to touch on some of those important things.
Yeah, we already talked about dentistry, but
right.
In older cats, the reason most older cats finally pass away, number one, is chronic kidney disease.
Mm-hmm.
And the way we can hopefully help them is to detect that as early as possible. So
mm-hmm.
Kidney disease is number one on our list in older kitty cats. Older cats are also much more prone to diabetes.
Mm-hmm.
Diabetes is becoming kind of a big problem in cats because we're seeing a lot of fat cats. Mm-hmm. And so just like people get type 2 diabetes, fat cats do too.
Okay.
And then lastly, we see a lot of thyroid disease in older cats. There mm-hmm. are they're prone to getting a benign tumor in their thyroid gland that secretes too much thyroid hormone. And so a lot of these really older kitties we see that are just skin and bones but still eat like crazy, they mm-hmm. have thyroid disease, and that can be treated. So some of the diabetes can be treated, and even though we can't reverse kidney disease, we can manage it. So those are all incentives to try and help your kitty cat out in their older age.
And the earlier the detection, the better on all of those things, correct?
Right, right. And, you know, I think sometimes we have a tendency to just say, oh, that's an old cat. That's just the way it is. And,
mm-hmm.
and obviously aging is one of the facts of life for all of us. But many of those things could be helped out if we were to catch them a little earlier. And so that's one of the reasons we'd like to see our older kitties make it into their veterinarian more frequently.
Do you feel like cats are good at hiding their illnesses and symptoms?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's a really good point, that it's in their best interest in the wild not to show weakness. And
mm-hmm.
so cats are especially good at just kind of maybe being a little more quiet, just kind of going off by themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And so sometimes you may miss that there's something going on. And that's where...
Just another reason to bring them
yeah,
in.
Yeah, we can get these visits to be just kind of a routine thing where we can check them out maybe we can pick that up, because they sure don't tell you much.
Or until they're really sick, right?
And the dental disease is a good example of that, too. It's amazing that how many cats we see that have really serious teeth problems, and yet, you know, the owner says, well, he's still eating.
Yeah.
Absolutely true.
Yeah.
They really try to...
They're resilient.
...to go through the pain and discomfort of having bad teeth, and they do still eat. So stopping eating is not always the... best indication that they have some bad dental disease.
Right. And before we segue into the next part of this, I just want to remind everyone, this is a call-in show. Please give us a call. Ask us some questions, vet-related, of course, 963-2976. So I think that's a good reason to move on to the common reasons why we hear people don't bring their cat to the vet, and what can we tell people, or what can you tell people that's going to, you know, make it easier for them to get that cat in the door?
Well, first of all, I'd say I'm very sympathetic, because I think we all have experienced the difficulties of getting our cat in. I think that the many cats, the only time they ever see a carrier is when they're being taken to the vet. And so that's where we need to try to do a better job as young kitties, to get them used to being in the carrier, that the carrier doesn't always mean bad things. And so I think that's probably one of the number one reasons. I was looking through some statistics preparing for this, and 60% of cat owners report that their cat hates going to the vet. So,
yeah, I think there's probably like 20% more that just didn't report anything, and their cat hates going too.
Yeah. So, first of all, we understand that, and we're trying to make some changes both in the ways we educate people how to get their cat into the vet, and then also we're trying to make some changes in how their cat is handled once they do come to the veterinarian.
Yeah, because I think a lot of people have seen their cat sort of be what appeared to be manhandled, because the cat gets upset and, you know, starts hissing, and nobody, you know, already you have your kitty crying the whole way there, you know, potentially excessively salivating, maybe going to the bathroom in its carrier, all those fun things we have to look forward to. And then they get in and the cat, you know, seems a little stressed and you know, we have a caller. And go ahead, caller. Thanks for calling in. What can we do for you today?
I've got a friend who has a cat, and she said that this cat has cat acne, which is the first thing, my question. I'd never heard of cat acne.
Yeah. Okay. Not only can we get acne, but...
Yes,
so can cats. Cat acne. Yeah, that is true. There is a recognized cat acne. It's almost always underneath their chin.
Yeah, and where the cat has it.
Yeah, they have a lot of very... highly secreting glands, sebaceous glands underneath their chin. And so it's kind of similar to blackheads, where you get a lot of sebum that plugs up those ducts that come out of there. And so it gets all backed up. And so at first it's just some little kind of pustule-looking things, but it can become quite serious. They can get a lot of swelling and a fair amount of discomfort from that. So that is absolutely...
It's a thing.
It's a thing.
It's a thing. Okay.
Yeah, it's
a
thing.
What should I tell
her
to try?
Well...
She said that she heard she's not supposed to use plastic bowls for their food, which...
That is been linked to some of these diseases. I wouldn't say that's the only thing.
Maybe clean them well?
Clean them well. Some people like metal just because it's easier to clean and doesn't have any chemicals that could be involved with that. I'm not convinced that's the only reason cats get acne, but that's not bad advice. Usually, it's very different than people, that a lot of times the material does need to be kind of squeezed out of there. That's best done by their veterinarian and not her.
Well, it's painful, too, so the cat might be a
little... How in the world could you do that to your cat? That sounds like...
leave that to professionals, right?
We have seen it. So, but at any rate, it's a little different. You know, many dermatologists don't want you doing that with your own acne, but you usually do have to get some of that material out. And sometimes we have to use... some antibiotic therapy, and we also often use a topical therapy to try to keep those pores open so that sebum can come out. So, it does require a little veterinary care. So,
but it's a thing. It's a legit thing.
Yep. Okay, then my cat every night licks himself like profusely, and then we find a giant pile of hair under the bed. Is that normal?
Is he licking like underneath his belly? Is that where it's usually? Yeah.
Yeah.
So there can be more than one reason for that.
He's also very fat.
Yeah. Well, it's not a totally simple answer. We call that barbering, and they will often have a bare spot in the back part of their groin area from just licking. For many years, I was told that it was psychological, so we used to call it psychogenic alopecia. So, in other words, they start developing almost an obsessive compulsive disorder that way. So that could be it. But I have also been cautioned in the last few years not to just say it's all on their head. That you can also have cats that that will do that if they have a urinary tract infection. In other words, if their bladder is painful. And then lastly, cats with allergies will sometimes do that.
Mm-hmm.
So it very well could be psychogenic. But there is also medical issues that need to be ruled out, too.
Okay. If he has allergies, would he be sneezing?
No. You would think so, because that's the way
we... He definitely doesn't sneeze.
Yeah, that's the way we present, and that's a really good point, that dogs and cats didn't read the human manual for allergies. They often don't sneeze. They often don't have runny noses. Most of their signs come out as skin disease. And and itching is probably number one on that list. So so you would think they would sneeze and have all the symptoms we do, but their allergies are a little different than ours.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, I'm going to lose you in about 3 seconds. But thanks for the call.
All right. Wonderful. So, yeah, we are taking calls here. Ask the Vet. Any type of vet-related questions, please give us a call, 963-2976. I'm trying to think. Where were we? We were discussing...
I think we were talking about getting kitties into the
veterinary. Into the vet, yeah, and the reasons why people don't and what we can do to give them some advice as to how to do it.
Well, first of all, we talked a little bit about trying to get kittens used to carriers, but sometimes we may have missed that boat and they don't like their carriers so much. So we are starting to recommend specific types of carriers. We really prefer the carriers that you can take the tops off of them.
Yeah, as opposed to just dragging them
out.
Yeah,
we see so many times people are trying to shove them in the little hole in the front of the carrier, and we all know how rough that is, and the cats don't really appreciate that. So I would recommend, if possible, to get a carrier where you can actually take the top off of it and top load the cat, and it's much less stressful. We're also trying to get cats used to that by just even months before, or have the carrier out where they can use it and maybe just leave that top off initially.
Yeah,
and
we see a lot of people that say, I brought the carrier out this morning and now I can't find my cat.
Exactly. Yeah.
It's a common complaint.
Very common. And again, that goes back to the cat associating the carrier with something bad. So one of our goals is to try to get carriers not to always be a bad thing. So leaving that top off, maybe feeding the cat, putting catnip in the carrier.
Mm-hmm.
And also we have products that are pheromones. So those are substances that are naturally secreted by the cat that are calming. So we'll often put those in the carriers too.
And is that something someone could purchase?
Yes. In fact, the pheromones are not even prescription. You can actually get those at pet stores too.
Okay. So something to think about adding to the
carrier. So, yeah, one of the things we want to try to do is get the carrier not to be the bad guy.
Yeah.
Admittedly, some people already know their cat's going to be a problem just from past experience. And so there are some pharmaceutical options that we have to consider, too.
Mm-hmm.
If you know that your cat is going to panic and is going to be a big problem, talk to your veterinarian before the visit and have some discussions about maybe there is something that Katie could take that's going to make it a little more relaxed.
Right, you would give it at home, and
then
the whole thing would be potentially a little bit easier.
Yeah, I think it's not only for our benefit, for the cat not to be in a state of panic when it arrives. So sometimes those little pharmaceutical agents are going to help both the kitty have a much better experience and the owner and the veterinarian have a better experience.
And we can do a better job that way as well.
Yeah. And then I guess the last thing I'd mention is that, you know, there are a few cats that it's just a battle. And there are a number of veterinary practices around who do house calls. And yeah. so that might be your best bet for certain cats. It mm-hmm. just may be better to have the vet come out to your place.
So. Yeah, I think that there's quite a few cats that I'm sure could benefit from that.
Right.
So definitely talk to your veterinarian. If you have a stressed out cat, don't just cram it in the cage and hope for the best or avoid altogether. Talk to your veterinarian. I know I keep repeating myself, but this is a call-in show, so please give us a call if you have any questions, cat or dog related. Here, 963-2976. And I think, you know, that's a good thing to talk about. What happens when we get to the veterinarian? I know we're trying, you know, a lot of veterinarians are trying to make a push to make their practices more friendly, more right. comfortable for the cat. You know, we were talking about getting in the door, but then what do you see happening? What's the change that you know, is going to potentially make the cat more comfortable once they get in the door?
Well, I think a lot of veterinary practices are now trying to not have the dogs and cats hang out in the same room right next to each other. We all know how stressful that can be.
Yeah,
so,
for dogs and cats.
Yes, exactly. So we and many veterinary practices now have designated cat-friendly rooms.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a special cat room. So dogs are not allowed.
Mm-hmm.
And if there are a bunch of dogs in the lobby, it's common now just to take the cat directly to the cat room so they don't have to sit out there with a bunch of dogs. So, mm-hmm.
And I think, you know, as the client, maybe if you do know you have a stressed out cat who is not used to dogs, mm-hmm. communicate when you walk in the door and say, hey,
yeah.
my kitty needs...
Or even better, communicate
call
when
ahead
you're making
of time.
The appointment
yep.
that,
yep.
you know, I really need to not have my cat next to dogs. And,
yep.
and most practices will try to accommodate
I'm
that.
Sure, yeah.
So that's one of the things. And then... I know many practices are also using different techniques for restraining cats.
Mm-hmm.
There was a time, you know, 30 years ago when I got out of school, or longer.
I wasn't going to make an old reference.
Any rate, you know, it seemed like there was a lot of brute force and
mm-hmm.
things like that used to restrain cats. And thank goodness mm-hmm. we're starting to...
Well, nobody likes to see their cat being... appear
Absolutely.
To be strangled
yeah.
or sat on,
yeah.
you know, that's
and,
not fun.
And so we're all getting educated that there's mm-hmm. better ways. So
mm-hmm.
We are, you know, employing a lot of techniques, just using towels
mm-hmm.
and another thing we use a lot of is catnip.
I've been
surprised how effective
it goes really
catnip.
Well.
Yeah,
they've made that legal in Colorado. Right? I mean, no, I'm sorry. We're talking about catnip.
But it is funny.
Yeah.
The homegrown catnip seems to be a little stronger.
It really does.
But we use a lot of catnip, and we do a lot of preparation before we even start to work with the cat. So when the cat first comes in, we usually let them come out of the carrier.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, again, where having these carriers that you can take the top off of are really nice. So nobody's
mm-hmm.
dragging the cat out of the
mm-hmm.
carrier. And so... just trying to be prepared in the room to let the cat kind of check the place out a little bit in a safe environment, using some catnip, all those sort of things have been really helpful. And then lastly is the use of towels and things like that, where we can do some restraint, but not restraint that is scary to the cat or
right.
brute force. So
right.
A lot of cats will settle down a lot if their head is covered, so
yep.
we use a lot of.
They like to hide.
We call them kitty burritos,
yep.
and you know, we're just using techniques that make the cat feel more secure.
We're not feeding them burritos.
Not yet.
No,
I don't think we're going there yet.
No.
But the kitty burritos, you know, we make jokes about them, but it's been really kind of enlightening the last few years since we've been using some of these techniques about. What cats will let us do.
Mm-hmm.
We're often doing the blood draws right there in the exam room.
Mm-hmm.
Owner's still there. We can actually collect urine in the exam room. A lot of things that we, once, you know, the cat was taken to the back, and you always wondered what happens in the back. You
might have heard some screaming.
Right.
I don't know.
And
somebody came back.
So we're trying to be more transparent, and it's working well for both cats and
owners
and veterinarians.
Us. Yes,
yeah.
right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it sounds like, I mean, this push for August 22nd being take your cat to the vet day, not work, but the vet, is really all encompassing, but talking about you know, the reasons why they need to come in. You touched on all those. And then, you know, just communicating with your veterinarian about the needs of your kitty.
Right.
And then, you know, understanding that cats do mask a lot of their symptoms and signs. So, right. You know, preventative medicine's the best.
Yep. And, you know, the final thought would be we see a great deal of love for our dogs. Let's show a little more love towards those cats.
That's right. Thank you so much for tuning in to Ask the Vet.